Dr. Gilbert?
Yes, this is Dr. Chris.
Oh, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay, very good. Live talk with Marietta here in New York. And thank you for being with us today. Today is Friday, December the 6th. And a very good afternoon to all our listening audience. First of all, our studio number is 203-505-3660. And we love to hear from everybody, your comments, suggestions, and also subscribe to the HealingMindMagazine.com and also follow us on Facebook. We like to have friends, as many friends as possible. So in today's program, we're talking about if your body had a voice and what would it say, with our special guest, Dr. Chris Gilbert. She is an MD, PhD, author, and on the web, drchrisgilbert.com. She's also an author of three books, The Listening Cure, Healing Secrets of an Unconventional Doctor, Dr. Chris, ABC of Health, and The French Stethoscope, which is a biography. And today, we're going to address chronic pains. Dr. Chris, what are chronic pains?
Chronic pains are pains that last a long time. Some people just have acute pain, which is when they hurt themselves, they fell, they hurt their knee, and the knee is going to hurt for a couple of weeks and then will stop hurting. But when the pain lasts more than a month, more than a couple of months, more than 3 months, then we get into chronic pain and nothing improves anymore, and nothing that the person does changes the pain, and that becomes chronic pain. And what do we do then? There's different ways of addressing this. We can get into acupuncture. Acupuncture works great. But sometimes, even with acupuncture, we can't go any further. So what do we do then? Right? Then we need to see and address the origin of the pain. When did the pain start? What happened just before the pain started? If there was no fall, if there was no trauma, that would be a physical trauma, was there an emotional, and we need to address that emotional trauma.
Yeah, because most people, when they have the common ailments, they go to a doctor, they have a little joint pain, abdominal pain, fatigue, obesity, rashes, headaches. But what you're saying, it could be a suppressed emotion, extreme emotions, and internal conflicts deep within the human psyche. And this is what we're really discussing under the umbrella, if your body had a voice, what would it say?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. There is a good example in my book, The Listening Cure, in which I tell the story of Allison. Allison had a chronic knee pain. She was a young girl, and she did not fall. She didn't have any physical trauma before the knee pain, but she still had that pain that prevented, that made her limp. And when I asked her what was there any relationship with anything, she told me about a dream, a recurrent dream she was having. And the dream was that she was driving a car. She was driving this red little mini Austin car. And she was driving down the hill, a very steep hill at 70 degrees. And the brakes, she would try to press on the brakes. And the brakes would not work. Mm-hmm. And she was going to drive into an abyss. And this was a recurrent dream. So what I worked on her, on the dream with her, and I asked her if the dream was a representation of something that was happening in her real life. Was she driving too fast, going too fast in her real life? And it seemed like she said that she was going to get married in a couple of months, and it looked like she was maybe driving too fast on that road, and it would be too early for her to get married. And I asked her, did the knee pain start about the same time as the wedding plans? And she said, yeah, it did start about the same time. So I had her work on the fact that maybe she was getting married too early, and I asked her to talk to me about her fiancé, and I discovered that the fiancé was a heavy drinker, that whenever he was drinking too much, he was very violent towards her, and in reality, her body, her knee, was telling her that it was probably the wrong man she was marrying. So by working on the dream, by working on the knee pain via the dream, we uncovered that she probably should cancel the wedding. And the weekend after our work, her fiancé had an alcohol binge again, was very violent against her, and she broke up with him. And very quickly afterwards, her knee pain resolved. Interesting, isn't it?
It's very interesting. And, Doctor, I believe in warning dreams. I believe in dreams. When I have certain dreams and I remember them, some, of course, I don't. But I try to remember my dreams, and then I look them up in the dream lexicon. And it's incredible.
Yes.
What these dreams, what messages they give.
And the dream interpretation in Gestalt is that every single element that's in the dream, you can give it a voice.
Yes.
So if you dream about a house, you can give the house a voice. Say, I'm a house, I am big, I've got precious things inside of me. If you dream about a knife, you can say, I'm a knife, I'm sharp. All those kinds. Every single element that's in the dream, you can give it a voice in the first person.
I looked it up. Yes, Dr. Gilbert, I had two warning dreams before my stroke. Two warning dreams. And I don't want to get into it now, maybe at a later time. So I was shocked because I remembered each detail. The first, well, just maybe I can describe it a little bit. I'm climbing up a mountain effortlessly. I came to the tip of the mountain, and then I inched my way. When it goes steep down, I was sitting on my butt. So I would be able to get down the mountain. So I inched my way down from the tip of the mountain on my butt all the way down. That was the first dream. I didn't know what to do with that. Okay.
Yes.
The second dream, I was on a small European balcony with wrought iron, with a fence, if you will, encasement, wrought iron. I remembered all of that. And it was looking out to the ocean, and to the right side of me, this huge wave, you see these big waves when you have tsunamis. This big wave came from the right, and it hit my side, but it didn't hit me. It didn't knock me off the balcony. I must have had a little roof over the balcony, and I could feel that wave going over the balcony and hitting a wall to my left. But I did not crumble. In other words, I felt it. I really felt it shaking, but I survived it. I heard the wave, I felt the wave. And the wrought iron the wrought iron encasing had a meaning. The balcony, the roof had a meaning. Everything had a meaning. I looked it all up.
Yes.
I looked it all up.
But also, you can give it your own meaning. So the trick in that Gestalt interpretation is to be the wrought iron. So part of me is a wrought iron. So you will describe the wrought iron. So if you want to try it, or I am a wrought iron. I am strong. Can you describe it a little bit? Do you want to do this?
Sure.
Can you describe it a little bit more?
You just have to guide me. You just have to guide me. Please guide me.
Okay. So describe yourself as the wrought iron. I am the wrought iron. What do you look like?
What do I look like?
As the wrought iron. Describe the wrought iron.
I am the wrought iron. And I am not dainty. There is dainty wrought iron, and there is a stronger wrought iron. And I feel I'm a strong wrought iron. Yes.
Okay, so I'm a strong wrought iron. Do you bend easily?
No.
No, so I'm not flexible. I'm strong and not flexible, right?
Well, I'm strong, yes, but I wouldn't say I'm not flexible, but maybe I'm not. But I would leave that open because I think I'm flexible.
So I'm flexible. So I am strong and I'm flexible.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So this is the part of me, the part of Maria that is strong and flexible.
Right.
Now let's do the balcony. Let's see that you are the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
So describe the balcony as you. I'm the balcony. Are you big? Are you small?
Oh, I am the balcony, and it was a nice, secure place because everybody has seen these European balconies. They're in the middle of the city, and it's a smaller space, but it's a very quaint space, almost like a little garden, except my view was the ocean, like the Algarve with the rocks. In it,
uh-huh.
That's exactly uh-huh. what I saw. So I saw the ocean, and I was on this small, safe little balcony. And as a kid, I always sat under the balcony to shield myself from the sun, the afternoon sun, and I would play under the balcony, you know, with the mud, making mud pies and whatnot.
Yes. So as the balcony, you can say, I'm the balcony, I'm small, I'm quaint, I have a beautiful view of the ocean from where I am, I have a beautiful view of everything from where I am, right?
Right.
So that's another part of you. So there is a part of you that is strong and flexible. That's a part of you, the wrought iron. There's another part of you that is small, quaint, that has a beautiful view of everything. And now there is the wave. So can you describe the wave?
Oh, my God. I could hear it, and I knew exactly it was coming. Me standing facing the ocean, it came from the right-hand side. As I'm facing the ocean, to my right, the wave came. I could hear it coming first, the sound like thunder, not thunder, but this rolling noise. And it got stronger and stronger, and all of a sudden, I was hit. I could tell that the wave went over the roof of the balcony, and I could feel when there was a wall to my left, which I couldn't really see, but I could feel it. That's where the wave crashed, and that's where I felt the impact.
Uh-huh.
And the roof did not cave in. Nothing happened to the balcony. Nothing. But the strong, when you're really shaken, you know.
So then when if you talk about the wave in the first person, you can say, I'm a wave. I'm a strong, what you said, I'm strong, I'm powerful. This is the words that you said.
Mm-hmm.
I can shake things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, so the other, so it seems like that now we've got already three parts of you. There is a part of you that is the wrought iron. A part of me is the wrought iron, strong and flexible. Another part of me is the balcony, which is small, quaint, with a beautiful view of everything. And there is another part of me which is a huge, strong, powerful, that can shake things, that can probably destroy things, but can go over the other part of you that is quaint and has a beautiful view of everything without destroying it. those are all the different parts of you.
Wow. I could just feel the wave. It would be hard for me to say, well, I am the wave now, because I never looked at myself that way.
Mm-hmm. But there is a part of you. It's just one part of you. It's not every part of you. It's a part of you.
Mm-hmm.
The part of you that can shake things. The part of you that can, that is very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very strong.
And you know what, Dr. Gilbert? When I had, that was before my stroke, before I had the stroke. And when I had the stroke, and it took me 6 months to recuperate, I did not break on this whole experience. To the contrary.
Here you go.
The enormous will to restore my life, being able to help myself again, and not depending on others. But I also learned it's okay not to be strong all the time, because nobody is.
Mm-hmm.
I have problems asking for help. I no longer have problems asking for help. And I understand that each human being has a different energy about them.
Mm-hmm.
And not everybody can be like a motor. Maybe they will never be a motor. They just have a certain amount of energy, and that's all they have.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
That's right.
I learned to understand the different people that have different energies from my own energy. And that
right.
was my lecture that I needed to learn in order to help people. I needed
right.
to learn. I needed to be totally helpless. I lost my mobility to walk. I want our audience to understand that. Where you're totally helpless,
uh-huh.
and you have to be aided to the bathroom, and uh-huh. so forth, which is just unacceptable to me, you know, and that I couldn't help myself. That would be death to me.
Uh-huh.
So, but I did not break. To the contrary, I got out of this whole situation after I got my strength back, but it changed my mind. My mind was changed, and I was on a different life track, and I did not even know it yet, because I tried to restore my life, what everything was going so well that I worked so hard for all these years. And I not once ever did I feel sorry for myself in the entire process, because immediately I wanted to understand people that did not have the strength when they had adversity, what they were doing. So I joined as a volunteer, the Salvation Army in Germany, helped them Wednesdays and Saturdays, give out sandwiches and cakes at the
Hamburg
train station. Yeah.
Mm.
I made soups. I took my resources, big bread manufacturer, almost like Pepperidge Farm here in this country. And we had them as sponsors as well. So whatever I could do with getting resources for this project, I did it.
Yeah, and you did everything that I recommended. My big thing is how to take everything that is negative and turn it into something positive and beautiful. This is basically my motto. And this is what you did. You turned the fact that you had a stroke into something beautiful and positive, is how to understand everybody else and how to help other people.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I recommend, and I applaud you for doing that.
Thank you, Dr. Gilbert. But what I also learned on my journey, that how other people that are going through adversity or have gone through adversity, how they... all these different sources that you're aligned with, whether they're banks or all different institutions that you're aligned with, that they really have the power to help you, and how they really turn the steering wheel to the left where they really could do it, steer it to the right. And that was just unbelievable to me, where my fighting energy comes out. And I said, oh, my God, I know my direction. I want to build and help people that are going through adversity so they're not going by the wayside when they have whatever is happening, whether through sickness or career or whatever it is. If they can't help themselves, there has to be sources where people can get help. So when I came back to the States in 2000, I looked at all different organizations, what they do for people and this, that, and the other. And we need not only education and tools to handle our thoughts, our minds, our emotions. We need to really be educated and focus in on that. But also when we have adversity,
that's right.
What do we do? A person who might make $1 million a year and they get laid off, let's just say. They may be devastated. They may not have the mental and emotional strength to cope with that. That loss of that job is just so detrimental to them, they can't pick themselves up again. We're all different. We're all made differently. We all tick differently, you know?
That's right. That's right. And that's why it's important to do the grieving that we talked about before and say goodbye to the job, say everything we enjoy, just the fact of saying goodbye to the job, everything we enjoyed, everything we didn't like, and turn everything into something positive, which means now let's find another job that maybe does not have the negative side that the previous job had, but will be even better than the previous job. Let's turn everything that we've learned with the previous job into something beautiful that we can apply to the search of something new. And that's a skill that needs to be learned. That's a skill that parents can teach children at an early age. There's so much that parents should really teach children. The brain of a child is so malleable that between the age of when they grow up, even in the womb, actually, the attitude of a parent is going to affect the child already in the womb. But until the age of 18, 20 years old, a child is going to be malleable, and those are skills that the person and the child needs to learn from parents. But usually parents don't know how to address that.
Exactly.
And if they learn how to address that in an older age, then they don't tell their children on how to do it. So each person has to learn, go through the process themselves to learn how to do that.
Right.
And it's a skill. It's an art. It is an art.
We're talking to Dr. Chris Gilbert today. If your body had a voice, what would it say? And chronic pain we're discussing today. I have a couple of announcements that I have to handle, Dr. Gilbert. Today's program was brought to you in part by BetterViewCleaning.com, the window cleaning specialist, the Healing Mind magazine, an internal learning life classroom, and KmarEducation.org, putting mind, body, spirit in motion. I also have, it started yesterday, December the 5th, through December 31st, we have some incredible giveaways. $100 gift certificate toward intuitive consultation from KmarEducation.org. This will be on a first-come, first-served basis. You hear us, you want it, you have to call, and our number is 203-505-3660. Now, my good friend Warren Honeycutt, How the Health Are You? Seven Keys to Success, his great book. He's 68. Everybody remembers Jack LaLanne, and there's no need when we're, a little older that we look old. No, he doesn't. Incredible person. I have another $100 gift certificate towards services decluttering your home from Intuitive Interiors by BridgetFlynn.com. And I have several gift certificates for one delicious nutritional shake from Lakeview Shakes in Monroe, Connecticut. And they make great stocking stuffers. That means I'm giving out one certificate at a time, but I have a few. So I tried that shake the other day, and it's incredible. So, and we have new gift certificates. I can't say the word. We have new gifts coming in every single day. So you got to listen to our podcast. And I'm very excited about this program. And also about Dr. Chris Gilbert. I call her when the doctor is in the house, we all feel better. Doctor, you know what we should do? You should have a pillow on your website, pillows that you're selling, like the pillow man.
That's true, yeah. I was actually thinking about that. That's an idea I've
love
had
it.
For a long time, yes.
I love it. And people,
pillows, I would be, yeah.
Yeah, and you're with you, and people associate what you talk about with you, and of course they would get the pillow. I think it's a great idea. People buy hats and buy T-shirts. I think that is a great, it would be a great step. It really would be.
Yeah,
now,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, I love it. You talked about dreams in your past discussion. Talk a little more about that. And we talked about warning dreams, and you were also able to help a patient. Talk a little more about that, what our dreams tell us and how we should.
Well, the dream is part of our unconscious. So it's important to know what is in our unconscious. And usually our repressed emotions will come into our unconscious. If we have a repressed anger, for example, that will come into our unconscious, and that will come in the form of a dream very often. If we don't allow the anger to be expressed during the day, it will come during the night as maybe a violent dream, so that will come out. Anyway, the repressed emotion, if it keeps being bottled up, it will have to come out some way, somehow, in the form of something. It could be a chronic pain, it could be a dream, it could be both, but it will have to come out because sometimes the pressure is so huge that it has to sit bad. But I want to talk about the possible repressed anger. And since we're talking about chronic pain, I want to talk about the case of Cynthia, who is the first case in my book, The Listening Cure. And she had a chronic pain in her throat, some kind of tension, and that she felt, and it was very difficult for her to get rid of it. She couldn't get rid of it. Which she tried to see ENTs, ear, nose, and throat people. She had MRIs, and nothing would show that was wrong in her throat. I looked inside her throat. I didn't see anything, just a very slight inflammation, but not enough to explain a chronic throat pain. And when I asked her when the pain started, again, the key thing is, when did the pain start? And when I asked her when the pain started, she said it was when she had a big fight with her husband. Because her husband was a workaholic. He was working all the time. I was never taking care of her, never spending time with her. He was a great provider. Okay, with money, it was okay. But time-wise, he was always working, never spending time with her and the kids. Sex was, like, not good because it was just a couple of minutes whenever he needed it. No foreplay. And she had so much anger towards him, but never expressed it. So what I did in the office, I played with pillows. So I had two pillows, a pillow for her and a pillow that represented her husband with a different color. And I had her talk to her husband, and I had her express figuratively her anger towards that pillow. And I realized there was so much anger inside of her that I decided to put, again, it's going to be a lot of pillows. I decided to put a lot of pillows on my examination table, piled up, and I had her beat those pillows up with as much strength as she could as if the pillows were her husband, just expressing her anger physically a lot. And The amount of anger that came out was astonishing. The amount of force that she beat up those pillows with was astonishing. And after that, after a few minutes of that, the pain was much decreased. The pain in her throat was much decreased. So, and a little bit after several sessions like that, we managed to get the pain, have the pain go away. That was a chronic pain, but that was because of repressed anger. And again, you don't do this right away. You've got to make sure that there is nothing really bad. So you need to see an ENT, you need to see a specialist, you need to have an MRI or a CT scan to make sure that there is nothing bad, no cancer in the throat or anything like this. But if there is nothing bad and there is a chronic pain and no specialist can find an answer or an origin of the pain, that's when you need to look at the repressed emotion.
It's incredible. It's incredible. The poor woman, I mean, and she still has this pain in the butt. Because if she's going to get another pain sooner or later, because she is just really, she's living a life of a suppressed life, and she has to stand up for herself, Dr. Gilbert.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. That's right. So, but the key is to know the origin.
Yeah.
To have an awareness and understanding of where it comes from, being able to express the repressed emotion in a safe setting and not towards the person, the real person, but towards pillows that represent the person, but not towards the real person. And then after the repressed emotion is expressed in a safe environment, and then being able to talk to the real person in a positive way, in a calm way, and ask for what you need. So she was able to talk to her husband and tell her husband this is what she needed. She needed him to work less, to spend more time with her, to, whenever they have sex, to do more foreplay. Again, there's a whole chapter on sex.
We should talk about that next time I have you on. We should do that.
Yeah, we can do that. That's a good chapter.
But Dr. Gilbert, I understand that when somebody is suppressed, that they can't just go up to that person right away, you know, because they're afraid. And so I know it takes work to get that out of a person. That in itself is a journey. But what happens after that? Because at some point, because they're living in an illusion land, a human being has to stand up for themselves, first of all. And especially, let's say a woman, it goes for a man also, but especially for a woman, because I'm very concerned. Let's say they have two, three children. So whatever is done to that woman is done to the children too, and she won't be able to stand up and protect the children.
That's right.
So
that's right.
But that's a whole nother talk show. We have so much to. We have endless material, Dr. Gilbert. Endless, and I love it. I just absolutely love it. So there's so many people out there, but they themselves feel better because they've been in a maze box and they found the opening where they be able safely express themselves for the first time in a long time, or maybe they've never expressed themselves. I don't know.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Depending on their upbringing, yes, that's right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So it's whatever we can with our programs raise awareness. And so forth. We're talking to Dr. Chris Gilbert today on the web, drchrisgilbert.com. Her books, The Listening Cure, Healing Secrets of an Unconventional Doctor. The second book, Dr. Chris, ABC of Health, and The French Stethoscope, which is a biography. And today's program was sponsored by our great window friends. BetterViewCleaning.com, KmarEducation.org, and the Healing Mind magazine. And for today, I want to thank Dr. Chris Gilbert. And I know we'll have you on for the month of December, if your time allows it as well, because there are just so many topics. And if people would like to talk to you directly, what should they do?
Now I don't talk to people directly. I mean, we can do a radio show where people call in and I talk to people directly on the radio show and do a session publicly like this. Otherwise, I do speeches. So I do speaking engagements so we can gather people and a group of maybe 20 to 50 people, and we'll do a session in front of everybody demonstrating the different techniques. So I do public speaking, I write blogs on Psychology Today and radio shows.
Very good. Glad to have you, Dr. Gilbert. So for today, I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you. I want to thank my audience for listening. We would welcome your comments. I take emails and also suggestions. And please subscribe. So for today, I'd like to say goodbye, Dr. Gilbert, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you, Marriott.
Thank
goodbye.
You. Bye-bye now.